Hi, I'm Susan Moore, Community Engagement Manager with IIBA.
And I'm Scott Bennett, Manager of Business Analysis with the International Institute of Business Analysis.
And this is Business Analysis Live. Ooh, nimble, huh? You know, I've got a question for you, because that word nimble, I'm a dancer, so it makes me kind of think about flexibility. And, you know, I think about sometimes when we talk with some of our members and they talk about agility, or they talk about being in an agile organization, right? They're thinking we should be nimble. But in fact, what we hear a lot of is we have invested a whole lot of time and money into being agile, and I don't really think we're very nimble. So this is a really good topic, and I bet we have some very exciting, humble guests who will tell us all about this today.
We do. So we're going to learn a little bit today about how your business can move at the pace of business. How do you keep up? So we've got two experts joining us today. You'll see them at conferences around the world. Please welcome Philip Hendricks and Fabricio Laguna. Hello there.
Hello. So excited to see you guys.
Yeah. Let's start with introductions. So for those of you that haven't gone to conferences and seen these guys speak, they're great dynamic speakers. Fabricio, why don't you introduce yourself to our audience?
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Scott, thank you for calling and for the invitation, Susan. I am Fabricio Laguna, also known as the Brazilian BA, and I have been speaking about business analysis. It's a passion for me. I was the president of the IIBA chapter for more than a decade, and today I work as the senior advisor for the president of the International Institute of Business Analysis, and have represented IIBA in some international conferences around the world. Pleasure to be here. Nimble is a very important topic for me. I have been doing some podcasts. I have a podcast on YouTube and LinkedIn. It's called The Brazilian BA. And if people like this conversation today, want to learn more about Nimble, join me, because there are a lot of conversations. I have been speaking with people from different areas about nimbleness.
Yes, that's great. Yeah, I've seen a couple of those videos, Fabricio. So yes, they're a great addition to augmenting this topic. So that's great. Over to Philip. Philip, you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, thanks also for inviting me here. I call myself Innovating BA, and I usually say that for me, BA is the acronym for by accident. I never kind of chose to become a business analyst. I kind of stumbled upon it, but I enjoyed it very much. But I also always integrated a lot of other perspectives, tools, techniques from related domains into my business analysis work. And so that's why I kind of chose the tagline Innovating BA, because I try to innovate the quote unquote traditional business analysis with injected with other perspectives, other views that can help it help make it more impactful, or maybe more nimble, you could say.
Yeah. And for those of you joining us from the Netherlands today, goeiedag. I have a Dutch background too. So let's get into nimble. So what does nimble mean? This was a definition that you shared earlier, but let's talk a little bit about it. And then let's talk about, as a BA professional, what this means to us. Fabricio, why don't you start?
All right. So when we think about changes are happening, and they're happening everywhere and every time, all the time, we must be able to react to change in an appropriate way. So your organization is feeling changes in their environment every day, like a new competitor is coming, a law is changing, some users need some different feature, let's say. And so you have to react to that and give some right responses. But there's an important part of reacting to that is the sense part of it. So being able to sense and understand what's going on is all about business analysis. It's about understanding what's happening in the context. What are the alternative paths you have of course, of action. So doing proper business analysis is a proper way to sense, understand it, and find the best answer or the best response for a change. It's not just about speed. So speed is important. So if you respond fastly, you are being nimble, but there's about precision as well. So Are you giving the best responses possible? Are you really understanding all the risks, all the alternatives? Are you evaluating well all the course of actions you should take, or all the possible ways of reacting, and so provide a good reaction? Organizations need that, and business analysts are the experts about thinking about understanding organizational needs and organizational changes.
Yeah, and when I read this, the one thing that comes to me is data analytics. You know, being able to sense, as a BA, we do this in terms of looking at the data, what do we see there? But it's also, how do you appropriately respond to that and measure it in a way that you can see, is it going the right direction or the wrong direction? Do we need to change it quickly? Philippe, when you're talking with people about Nimble, as a BA practitioner, what do you recommend for people?
There's a lot of things that pop up. To your point about data analytics, and to Fabrizio's point about sensing, making sense of data, I think, is an important starting point, because business analysis has a lot of tools and techniques to think about potential future scenarios and solutions and choose the best one. But Nimble is about being able to respond to unexpected events where you don't have the time to do an in-depth analysis before you respond. And so being able to gather data, turn them into information and insights, and then decide on the right actions to take is definitely a key element of becoming a more nimble organization. So that's definitely a first element. And it requires us to think as business analysis practitioners a little bit differently. We still make a lot of as-is analysis, and then we decide together with our stakeholders on the best to be. And it's kind of a unfreeze, change, refreeze situation. But then the situation is frozen again. So the current to be immediately becomes an as-is, but then an unexpected change happens. And then we need to do all the work all over again. So I think part of becoming nimble and part of helping as a BA professional make our organizations more nimble is not thinking about a fixed to be, but thinking about how can I organize my to be in such a way that the system, people and technology together can quickly change when needed without us having to collaborate with them, without them needing us to make a change happen. So how can we make the, say, process more flexible so that it can change, as a matter of speaking, by itself instead of needing external help from us as a project or product team to make the change?
That's a great point. We are live today, so if you have questions for Fabrizio and Philippe, please put them in. We will get to those as we go through the show. Susan will select some questions here that we can answer. But to build on what you're saying, Philippe, I think as a practitioner, we sort of have a view of what we can do, but a lot of this conversation we're going to have today is about what the organization can do. How can organizations get better? And we're really the catalyst to help make that change. So, Philippe, when we're talking about Nimble, what does it mean for an organization when we look at it at that scale?
So in the definition, it said it's a capability. So maybe it's useful to kind of clarify what a capability is. It's a term that comes from business architecture. Actually, it comes even before that from the military. And a capability consists of two parts. There is the ability part, something you are able to do as an organization. For example, in the military, you are able to deploy troops. So deploying troops or troop deployment is AKA an ability, a capability of a military organization. But there is also the CAP part of the word, and that stands for capacity. I don't know if semantically that's the origin, but that's a good way to remember it. Because knowing that you are able to deploy troops is one thing, but what's important is that you are able to know how many troops, how quickly, where. For example, a more specific description could be that you have boots on the ground anywhere in the world within 24 hours. And so if we talk about Nimble as a capability, it's about having in an organization the ability to make changes responding to events that are happening, unexpected events, but also know how quick and at what scale you can make these changes happen throughout your organization. So at an organizational level, and this is kind of doing analysis work, but at a more strategic scale, as an organization, you have to think about if changes happen that we might not think about upfront, that we might not expect, what are the different capabilities in our organization that need to change? If, coming back to the military example, if somewhere a war starts and we need to deploy our army, do we need ground troops that we can move quickly? Or do we need a navy that allows us to go overseas? What are our expectations? How ready are both capabilities to get people anywhere in the world within 24 hours? What are the capabilities that you need to make, let's say, more nimble? Because you can't be nimble at all levels all of the time. That's just not feasible. You have to prioritize. And so as a BA, we can do some prep work to think about, okay, which are those capabilities that we think we might need to scale most quickly in the future because of external events, or which are the capabilities that we feel are today very good at doing things in a certain way, but very inflexible. Then we might start thinking about how can we make them more flexible? How can we make the processes more flexible? How can we make the data more accessible so that we can get insights from it? Coming back to the earlier point. And so that's kind of an organizational view on where are we today nimble and where not.
Okay, that's really good. I like the example you used because you can very easily understand that. Fabrizio, as you've been working through this conversation with various organizations, can you share with us a couple of examples of nimble that might be from an organization perspective?
Sure. So if an organization has to deal with a change, I mentioned some two different changes. So a competitor came with a new product that can be a threat for our products or for our situation, or the government just created a new law and you have to respond to that. So those are very typical situations where business analysts are involved, the business analysts are involved in organizations, and they have to deal with that. They have to think about that. And there are different levels, as Philip was saying. There's a strategic level of thinking about that. There's a tactical level, and even operational. You have to change a button on the screen because this new law have something, or you have to change the price of your product, and that's very operational. But there's different levels about being nimble, about reacting, sensing, understanding what it is, what's the best course of action, and reacting to that. What IIBA has discovered in our research, and we are talking about our research in a few seconds, but this is the research called Being Nimble, and I invite everyone to read it because it's very interesting. It's research about with a lot of organizations and how nimble they are. Is that independent of the methodology they're using, if they're using Agile, if they're using Lean, if they're using Kanban, if they're using Waterfall, independent of the methodology they're using, that doesn't change how nimble they are. The fact is, if they have no methodology at all, they are very confused and they cannot sense and respond fastly enough and precisely enough. But if they have different some methodology, they can sense and respond. The point is this methodology aligned to their context? Is this methodology the right one for that or specific organizations? And different organizations have different needs and different situations. Some organizations, as Philip was talking about a war and an army, they have a different situation of a startup that has a different situation of the government, right? So what's the point's not what's the silver bullet methodology, there's none, right? There's no methodology that would fit for everyone. The point is, what's the best approach for my organization? How should we do our job to be nimble? And that comes to another thing that Philip was saying about, is your organization ready for change? Is your methodologies, is your process, is your way of working planned and well structured to deal with change in a continuous way, that makes the difference about being more or less nimble. And once again, I believe business analysis is the underlying competence between being able to sense and respond to change. So is your organization developing in a proper way the business analysis competence, independently of the methodology you're using, because business analysis does not depend on methodology, but do you have this competence very well structured in your organization that helps you to think and understand what's going on?
Well, thank you for mentioning the report, Fabrizio. I think that's a really good foundation for someone who wants to dig into this. If there's someone out there in the business analysis space that's interested in having this conversation with their organization, is there a certain point where they should start that conversation? Is there a recommendation of how they get people talking about this?
Yeah, I have an idea. Because we're always talking about change and about the world changing faster and faster, and we need to react faster and faster. And I hear it all the time, and I think, is this really true? I mean, if you look at statistics, yes, technology is evolving faster and we see new things pop up faster, but maybe it's just because we're in the middle of it instead of looking at it from a distance. But a question that I find interesting is ask yourself, ask your team, ask your organization, do we feel that we could do certain things more quickly today than we do them today? And most probably the answer will be yes. And you will probably be able to pinpoint some very specific pain points that could be easily removed. And thinking about it and brainstorming about it will probably reveal others. And I think that's a good starting point to say, okay, if we can remove these pain points, we will start becoming more nimble.
That's great. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, this takes an organization a certain amount of self-awareness. If organizations can be self-aware, let's pretend they can for a minute. But it does, I think, require organizations to be aware that there is this possibility of being more nimble. So as we've been talking here, and I'm putting together some things, you know, when we've been talking about having a methodology that is aligned, not just to their context, but I think that we're also talking about one that is aligned to their competencies, to the things that they do well as an organization, which means that an organization has to know what they do well and has to be self-aware enough to know what they aren't doing well. I think they also have to have a commitment to quality and understanding that, you know, we can't just get better because we will it to be. We actually need to use something like business analysis to help us uncover where do we need to be tailoring the processes that we have or the products that we are offering so that they are more within our context, our competencies, our capabilities. I think that's really what we're talking about here, nimbleness, agility at an organizational level.
I'm curious. I'm a fan of the business model canvas. Susan and I did an episode on that, and people can find that in our backlog of episode shown. Business model canvas, does that help in the conversation with Nimble?
It may help. One point about being nimble and having your organization more nimble, or one way to develop this capability is to have people understanding the full organization or the purpose of the organization. To be more nimble, you need people, not just the CIO executive to be nimble, you need the full organization to be nimble. And if you want your organization to respond fast for change, you need people here on the endpoints of organization being able to sense any response. Because if you have to go up all decisions to the C-level and go down, you are not fast enough, you are not being nimble enough. But if you want those people to understand what's going on, they have to have a clear vision of the whole organization. They should align all their tasks, all their activities, all their decisions here in the bottom line with the strategic alignment defined in the top level. So techniques like the business model canvas, techniques like OKRs, techniques that help us to understand and align objectives, goals and objectives with actions that happens in the operation level, that all that helps your organization to be nimble. You have to develop these skills in the bottom line so people can decide based and align it with the strategic view. So I believe that's one kind of technique that help us to make this alignment.
Yes, and I can easily align it with what we previously said about capabilities. Business architects will typically deliver capability maps that are very relevant and true, but might maybe sometimes miss a bit of a story and making them a little bit more difficult to understand at first sight. Ultimately, the business model canvas is a capability map. It shows the different capabilities an organization has in different parts of the organization. And you could use it to pinpoint where are the points where we are today already flexible, nimble, and where are the points where we might need to become more nimble, because if a change happens, because of whatever action a competitor is taking, we might be under stress at some point in time. So that could be your starting point, absolutely.
That's great.
Let's see. Well, don't forget, if you have any questions about what we're talking about today, put that into our comments. We are going to take some questions. Do we want to take some questions, or do we want to unpack any more about Nimble?
I would like to call, when you opened this session, Susan, you're talking about how organizations invested in agile and sometimes they are not nimble. I believe that's a very important way of exploring this conversation. What I have been hearing in a lot of organizations is we invested in agile, but we are not agile. And that's confusing because they're using the same word for two different concepts. And the way you propose it, the way you ask it, the question, it clearly defined a difference. When we are talking about agile, we are usually talking about a set of practices, a ways of working. We are talking about some methodology, some frameworks. We could use the word agile in English to mean both things. I understand that. But that's not usually how people are talking about agile. So agile is an overloaded word that brings frameworks, that brings backlogs, product owners, product ownership, that brings a lot of techniques and methods that people could use to organize the way of working. When we talk about nimble, we are not talking about a way of working. You can work in different ways. Use the way that's the best one for you. And that's an important topic. You can use agile, you can use waterfall, you can use whatever works for you. When we are talking about nimble, we are talking about being able to sense and respond to change fastly and precisely. So it's the outcome that you expect to have when you're doing agile. So having these two concepts in mind help us to bring some very nice conversations in our organizations. Are we being nimble? It's different about, are we doing agile? So
yeah,
those are two different questions.
And I think with this addition of another word, we can talk about our own assumptions of what we mean by agile and agility. I know sometimes the president of IIBA, he talks about capital A agile and lowercase a agile, one meaning a framework, one meaning truly agility, nimbleness. It occurs to me as we're talking today, because I think I am now beginning to understand how this framework has come about, especially as we think about sensing and responding to change. So if we think about some of the practices that are in uppercase A, Agile, the framework, we often think about things like stand-up meetings and planning meetings, sprint reviews, things that we do all together. And it occurs to me that possibly the reason that we try to have so many in-person collaboration is somehow we are trying to build awareness and the ability to sense. But in essence, if we're really doing that, we are likely being reactive instead of what nimbleness would get us, which is this ability, this almost kind of, I think the word is preternatural, so kind of this otherworldly ability to sense. The practices don't necessarily give us that opportunity to sense. They give us the opportunity to react. So this is really mind-opening today as we're talking about agile versus nimble. So I'm excited about this.
It's a fair point, and I think of two things. First, tying into also what Fabrizio said about frameworks and stuff. Agile is often perceived as just being a series of methods or frameworks or techniques like Scrum, like stand-up meetings, and they can be very useful, they can be very effective. They can also not be useful or effective. But interestingly, Agile, all of those frameworks, tools, and techniques actually contradict the very first value of the Agile Manifesto, which is that we should value individuals and interactions over processes and tools. But all of these frameworks offer processes and tools. And so again, yes, they can be very valuable if you use them wisely. And so in that sense, kind of using a new word like nimble prevents you from having the difficult conversation about what is Agile to you and what is it to me. Let's move the conversation over to another word that is at this point still more neutral.
Oh, interesting. I like that.
Yeah.
Actually, there's something that got lost in Agile. Philip mentioned it once. One of those that is, we should be looking for the outcome and not for the method. So we value individuals and interaction over process and tools. But the Agile Manifesto starts by saying, we are uncovering better ways of developing software, better ways of doing something. So the Agile Manifesto and Agile thinking, the Agile mindset, started about ways of doing work. And what we are trying to bring with Nimble as a concept is not about ways of doing work, it's about the results of doing whatever way you're using. So trying to decompose those two concepts, use it in when you're speaking. I believe it's easier than talk about capital A and low capital A Agile, right? So having those two different concepts, I think for me, it was very useful. I use it to call agility the same as what I'm calling nimbleness now.
Yeah. Right?
But when I got a new word, I started to realize that my conversations were flowing better. It was easier to talk about different concepts.
Yeah.
And talking about these things like Agile as a mindset, be careful because you might get us going here if you're not watching the time. The nimble, the sensing and responding to change also adds, I think, a fundamentally different way of looking at things, looking at our organizations and people and processes within the organization, which is, most organizations are still trying to control their environment, predict the environment, and control how they can deal with it. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, there are a lot of situations where you can't control the environment, where things just happen out of the blue. We've seen a couple of very big ones in the last few years, like COVID, like the war in Ukraine. And the difference with sensing and responding is that you are open to the fact that unforeseen things are going to happen and that you are going with the flow, but be prepared to react, not because you have analyzed all of the potential scenarios up front, but because you have invested in the capability to sense and respond better, where business analysis is a key set of tools, techniques, a key mindset to help you enable that.
I have one last thought here, and maybe it's a question for the audience out there as you're thinking about, is my organization nimble or not? If today your leader said, we're taking away all of the agile practices that we do, would your organization be able to sense and respond to change with speed and precision if you did not do those things? And if the answer is no, you might not be nimble. So, yeah. So, well, let's take some questions. So the same person is asking some awesome questions. I believe your name might be pronounced Mazin. You have some great questions today. So we're going to start with this one. Can you provide specific examples where being nimble has proven beneficial for a business analyst? So thinking about how can BAs contribute to this, what would be some examples, maybe from your talks, where you covered this?
The question says for a BA. Yeah? So I'm taking it from the perspective of me being a BA practitioner doing some business analysis work where I had to react nimbly. I run a lot of workshops as a facilitator, and we always prepare. Me together with the clients, stakeholders from the client, we always prepare the workshop. We have kind of a script. This is what we're going to do. These are the techniques that we're going to use. And we had a group of around 10 people, and we were going to let people list a couple of topics via an individual brain dump and then go through those as a group and start structuring them. But already at the first person, it took quite a bit of time for them to explain everything, and it was relevant. But I immediately sensed that if we were going to take this route for the entire group, it would take a long time and people would get bored. No matter how interesting each person's content and suggestions were, after number five, you started getting bored. So I nimbly changed on the spot the way we did the workshop. And I used one of the liberating structures where people first did some individual work, then they sit together in pairs, debating about their different ideas, making a selection, and then in larger groups and larger groups until you have the whole group together. This is a very simple example where, as a facilitator, you can react nimbly to a certain situation that you did not predict 100%. And you can apply it in your workshop tomorrow, but you could also apply it at a more strategic level if you like.
I want to give another example that is probably very relatable for business analysts. So a business analyst is a job function who's working on an organization. They're probably developing some requirement documentation, some user stories, I don't know, whatever they're building that help the organizations to take decisions and should take that decision fast. And if you are not nimble enough, you may be seen as a bureaucratic person in your organization. We have been hearing through the last decade the term the agile business analyst. That is a business analyst that's not a bureaucratic one. There's someone who is generating value for the organization and helping the organizations to take those decisions faster. I like the term agile business analyst, but that brings me the idea of some business analyst who is using agile methods and frameworks. I prefer the term the nimble business analyst because independently of the framework or the method that they're using, they're trying to help the organizations to take decisions faster and more precisely. So sensing and responding, understanding. So you can use different techniques for that, agile techniques, for example, or whatever works very well for you. But the point is, if you are not a nimble business analyst, you may be seen as a bureaucratic person, someone who is holding the decisions to be made. And that's not your point. Your point is helping the decisions to be done quickly and precisely.
Wow, and two really good examples there. And that's why we've got the expert here. So thank you for that. Go ahead, Philippe.
You mentioned expert. It's not about being smart. It's about preparing yourself by just getting your backpack of techniques very, very filled. Because then at the right point in time, you can pick the right technique for that specific situation that you did not fully predict. So it's expertise that you build just by practicing and by learning and by trying all of the techniques in the BA BOC as a starting point. Again, this is not about being smart. This is just about making sure that you have a rich list of things that you have some experience with so that you can apply them at the right time in the right way.
I love you using that analogy, Philippe. I use it as a woodworking educator. The more tools I have in my toolbox to be able to fix something, the better I can fix it. So the idea as a business analysis professional, the more techniques I have at my disposal, the easier it is for me to shift from one to the other to make sure I'm using the best tool for the job at the time. So love that.
The quickest tool tying into Fabrizio's concern, business analysis sometimes is perceived as something that slows organizations down. But having the right tools that make people feel, okay, this is going fast and we're getting to results quickly, that's very effective to showcase the value of a business analysis.
And I like this analogy of having the tools or the techniques very, you must be prepared to improvisation. So when you see any these theater shows of improvisation, those guys, they don't know what's going to happen that day because they just pick one word and another and create an improvisation at that specific time, but they train very much. They're very well prepared to do that. It's not something that we could do that without preparation. So, but they're not preparing themselves for a regular play with a defined script. They're preparing themselves to be able to be nimble. And that's a very, very nimble profession, to be able to improvise into the on the stage. And I believe what Philip is saying, that's business analysis techniques help us to be able to sense and respond quickly, or to improvise, using quotes here, right? But to be able to respond quickly in those situations, because we have that very well developed as a technique.
You know, we had, Fabrizio, we had you come and talk to us about the business analysis mindset a while ago. And some of this conversation sounds a little bit like that, because we talked about having this mindset of, I know all of these tools and techniques, I know what my skills are, I know what I'm comfortable with, and just being able to apply those in the moment when you are faced with whatever that thing is. And so I see that having some of that mindset really feeds into how you can be nimble at a personal level.
Yes, yes, exactly. If you have the right mindset, it's like muscle memory. You are so trained, in doing business analysis, that everything you do is business analysis, because
that's right.
It's part of the way you think. It's part of the way. So when some change happens in your environment, you start analyzing that immediately, because that's the way you think. You cannot avoid that.
You can't turn it off. That's exactly right.
And you say something interesting, Susan. You mentioned comfortable of using a new technique because you've used it before, which is very relevant. But it's also about learning to be comfortable with being uncomfortable, because you end up in a situation that you did not expect. And forcing yourself to practice these uncomfortable moments will make you more comfortable with being uncomfortable.
That's right.
For example, a technical example, Netflix has, I don't know if they still use it, but a couple of years ago, they initiated the Chaos Monkey, which is a technical feature that at random moments in time just turned off servers, live servers. So it was not in a test environment, it was in a live environment. So people learn something can go wrong at any point in time, and we have to make sure that our software and our people are able to deal with it. And so the Chaos Monkey was a way to trigger these people to experience uncomfortable moments, and gradually they learn to build better, more nimble software.
Ah, that is interesting. So I'm actually going to be doing a talk for the Poland chapter soon. And actually, this is one of the things that I talk about, because when we're learning, struggling is part of the learning process. And sometimes that is the barrier to us really learning, because we go, oh, this is so hard, forget it, I'm not gonna do this. But actually, it's the struggle, going through it, getting to the other side, and reflecting on what you've done so that you can incorporate it and practice is so important. So that's a very nimble way of thinking. Let's see, how about we take just one more question? Excuse me, one more question. I need a drink of water. This is also from Ms. M, who asks, can you be too nimble? Which I think is a really good question. Could there be a risk of sacrificing thoroughness or quality for the sake of speed and adapting? Do you guys cover that in any part of your talk?
Well, I would say if you are too fast, that may be a risk. But remember that the definition of nimbleness, or to be nimble, is to be able to sense and respond with speed and precision. So there's the second point. If you're just being answering very fast, that not necessarily makes you nimble. You're fast, right? But does not necessarily tell that you are going to the right place. So some techniques, and you mentioned that before, Susan, helps you to respond fastly, but not necessarily nimble. And that's a point of nimbleness that I like to emphasize. That's the nimbleness of mind. Agility happens in your body. So the definition of agility is to move your center of gravity very fastly, change direction fastly. But when you think about nimbleness, especially nimble as of mine, that happens here. So you are thinking very fast, you are understanding what's happening, and you are taking the best course of action. If you are playing basketball, you may be very agile and move very fastly. If you are playing speed chess, that's not about agility, it's about nimbleness of mind. So speed chess is that chess that you have a clock and you have to take decisions very fast and look on the board and take your decisions. That happens here. So I would not say that to be so nimble is a problem if you were counting on speed and precision at the same point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good point. You can be too fast, you can also be too slow. You can be too imprecise. You can also be too precise. For example, if you create a business case, it's better that the cost and benefit estimation is roughly right than exactly wrong. So nimble is about managing those balances. Can you be too nimble? Yes, because making your organization more nimble means investing in those capabilities to make them more flexible, more nimble. And those investments take time and money. And you only have so much resources. You only have so much time and money. So you have to prioritize. You have to select wisely which ones you think are the most important ones to make more nimble. So in that sense, too nimble, you can never be too nimble in the literal sense, I think, but you can invest too much in your nimbleness and thereby not reaping enough of the benefits anymore in the short run. So that's kind of the two balances I think you need to try to manage.
Yeah.
Kind of we're on a live show, and I was being a little too nimble with the headings there, and I actually got the wrong one. So I lacked precision in doing that. But I did want to put two banners up here. Philip's been on the show before. Effective Change Management is the episode, if you want to check that out. Fantastic discussion. Fabricio as well, talking about the business analysis mindset, another previous one. So go ahead and check those ones out if you haven't seen them.
Yeah, both excellent. Both kind of tie into today's topic as well. Indirectly. So thank you both. Let's wrap up for today. I've learned a lot. I have a ton of notes. And so if you've been listening out there, maybe you also have a ton of notes. And check out this report. I mean, there's more information in Being Nimble. Also, we are starting to translate this into other languages. So Fabricio and team recently just translated this into Brazilian Portuguese, and we've got a few more languages coming. So we are really wanting to share this word with our business analysis community.
And
yes, sir.
If I may, Fabrizio and I, if people are interested in this topic and want to get more hands-on, Fabrizio and I are running a workshop at BBC in April in Orlando. So if you're interested, please
Thank
do
you for reminding us. Do we have that banner somewhere? Also, Roslyn, if you're listening, drop the BBC info in there. Yeah, because
the name of the tutorial is Becoming Nimble, Igniting the Adaptive Organization Through Business Analysis.
Yeah, there you go.
Philip and I are going to be together, and it's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun because, this is a topic that's, it's kind of serious, but when you make it fun, you make it memorable, and that's really what we want everyone to take away. So, and you can just get to meet them. And
Yeah, and I can tell you, I was at BBC last year, and I got to hear both Fabricio and Philip speak. And if you think they're engaging here, you have to see them in person. It's great experience.
Yes, lots
Thank
of
you,
fun.
Yeah.
Thank you both again for joining us. So that wraps up for today, but we will be back in 2 weeks. We are going to be talking with guest Scott Helmers about neuroscience and business analysis. What does our brain have to do with business analysis? Scott knows, and we're going to talk about that in 2 weeks. So we'll see you then. This is the end of our live session, but if you've got questions, you can send us an email at live@iiba.org or leave us a voice message and we'll answer your question at one of our upcoming broadcasts. Join us.